The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, May 2019 edition. So let's go ahead and get started. Major key revenue streams. Do you want to secure the bag? Then start looking beyond your 9-to-5 if you want to accumulate real wealth. When rapper Soulja Boy appeared on the hip-hop talk show Everyday Struggle in January, one of the hosts, Nadeska Alexis, asked him, "Why do you have so many businesses?" His response, "I'm trying to be a billionaire. Why don't you have that many businesses?" Whether you're a fan of Soulja Boy or not, his strategy of cultivating multiple streams of income deserves some serious thought. Tom Corley, who has researched the habits of self-made millionaires for his Rich Habits series of books, found that 65% of self-made millionaires had three streams of income, 45% had four, and 29% had five or more. When we rely solely on a 9-to-5 for our income, the only way that we can earn more money is through promotions and pay increases. But the cost of living often outpaces those raises, says Nicole Koper, a Washington, D.C. small business consultant and member of the National Women's Business Entrepreneurs. If we want to get ahead, Koper agrees that we need additional ways to get paid. We need to stop thinking of it as a side hustle when it's really in its essential hustle, she says. Some of our most successful entrepreneurs and celebrities are using this approach to build wealth or build major wealth. We have to think about our legacy, Koper says, and build with care. We're going to read on to discover how we can get started. The celebrity boss. When we think of our favorite stars, we often view them through the lens of sports entertainment. However, behind the scenes, many are making other entrepreneurial moves. Tennis champion Venus Williams has opened several Jamba Juice franchises in the Washington, D.C. area. She is also the founder of V-Stars Interiors, an interior design firm based in West Palm Beach, Florida. And she has an athletic apparel line called 11. In addition to making music, Rihanna has taken on the world of beauty and fashion through the launch of her Fenty Beauty Cosmetics brand in 2017 and Savage X lingerie line in 2018. Fenty Beauty was such a hit that Time Magazine named it a genius company of 2018. In part for reportedly generating more than $100 million during the first 40 days after its launch. Rihanna's other hustles also contributed to her $210 million net worth in 2018, according to Forbes. Meanwhile, Nicki Minaj leveraged her rap career to ink a number of licensing deals. For example, an app she released in 2016 with game developer Glue Mobile made $600,000 the first quarter after its launch. Minaj also lent her name to both a perfume line and a clothing line. While she's remained mum on what she earned for the licensing deals, it was enough for her to be the only woman to land on the Forbes 2017 list of the wealthiest hip-hop artists, with a net worth of $16 million. But you don't have to be a celebrity to make boss moves. In 2007, Rosetta Thurman, 36, of San Diego, was working at a nonprofit when she started blogging about the nonprofit industry. Her blog created a buzz that led to paid speaking opportunities and consulting gigs. By the end of 2008, she made an additional $10,000 on top of her salary from her two additional streams of income. In her second year of business, she was able to fully replace her $60,000 a year salary. In 2010, she quit her 9 to 5 to focus exclusively on consulting and speaking. Then the loss of a client threw her business and finances into a tailspin. That client represented a third of my income at the time, she says. That experience taught her to cultivate even more revenue streams so she'd be able to weather the loss of a client in the future. Thurman began offering ebooks and coaching services as well as conducting online workshops. By 2014, her multiple streams were bringing in more than $100,000 a year. Today, Thurman is the founder of HappyBlackWoman.com and the creator of a mastermind group of women working toward creating six-figure businesses with multiple revenue streams. Having multiple streams of income is really about how many ways you can get your money to work for you, says Melinda Emerson, the small biz lady and author of Fix Your Business, a 90-day plan to get back your life and reduce chaos in your business. She suggests that in addition to collecting your salary at your 9-to-5, you can start investing and earning interest from a 401k, selling courses online, or even hawking your gently worn clothes or shoes on Poshmark.com. It just takes a strategy and a plan. The pathways to multiple streams. So how do you go from having one stream or one income source to creating a myriad of revenue streams? Here's how to kick off your course of action. Number one, start with a strategy. A lot of people get excited and think, I can do everything. But that's a recipe for disaster, says Kathy Porter, a small business development strategist and an adjunct business instructor based in Gainesville, Florida. You have to be smart about it, she says. When considering potential streams, think twice about anything that requires too much of a financial investment or takes away from your core business. Porter advises if you don't realistically have the time or resources to put into the idea, shelve it and come up with a different plan. Number two, see what you have in place. Remember, your job or primary source of income is your first stream. If you are investing in a 401k, a stream, or stocks, you're producing a stream of income from the interest you earn. So that's a second stream. If you own property, real estate can be your third. Many celebrity entrepreneurs have made real estate a key component of their financial empires. For example, earlier this year, Queen Latifah announced that her company, Blue Sugar Corp., was investing in affordable housing units in her hometown of Newark, New Jersey. When you look at a person like Queen Latifah, she's achieving several goals, says Kober. Number one, it's a sound business investment to revitalize a community. So she will make money off of that. Number two, she will reinvest in a community that she has a personal connection with, and that is enhancing her brand as well. Number three, look to your interests and strengths. Think about what makes you genuinely excited. Those are key indicators of where your revenue opportunities may lie. Erica Badu turned a passion of natural healing into a side hustle as a trained doula. Whether you're selling pies or starting a blog, those things require enthusiasm and constant engagement, Culver says. An authentic affinity for the subject matter will give you credibility, which may then translate into revenue streams. Number four, monetize your knowledge. We all know a lot about something. Package what you know into a course or an ebook or a speaking engagement. Whether it's teaching how to braid hair or how to manage a team, we all have some knowledge, says Thurman. I call it monetizing your magic. For example, actress Tia Mowry Hardrick turned her passion into cooking, on a show on the cooking channel, and she released her own healthy eating cookbook, Whole New You, as well. Number five, come up with complementary streams. Figure out if there are revenue streams that are compliant or complement what you already do. Ask yourself, how can I retool what I'm doing and sell this service to somebody else, says Porter. Also think about how each stream feeds into the others. Thurman says, I sell coaching programs and online courses, and the people who buy them get invited to live events or to live events. Then when you come, or when they come, they can purchase more courses or coaching. Everything feeds into the other. Number six, understand each stream's revenue cycle. The beauty of multiple streams is that when one stream isn't performing well, you have others to pick up the slack. That's what Dion Mahaffey, age 48, discovered. The Atlanta-based business psychologist coaches sales products and most recently launched Cultural Greetings, an online platform where consumers can buy and send greeting cards geared toward African Americans. A gratitude journal she created does well at the end of each year, while the greeting card business peaks around holidays. You have to be diversified in what you're doing because sometimes they're not all going to make money at the same time, McCarthy says. Number seven, take advantage of partnerships. It can be a challenge finding the time to do multiple things. Focus your energy on what you do best and outsource the rest, says Porter. We're in a gig economy now, and people are looking for opportunities, which allows you to hire what you need for exactly how long you need it. McCaffey hires consultants and vendors to help her with her greeting card company and product sales. If you have cash to invest, you might even contribute to a business by putting up some of the money like Beyonce did in her partnership with trainer Marco Borges to create a vegan meal planning service. Number eight, look for streams that are more passive. That would be things like ebooks where you can create it once you sell it over and over again versus coaching, where you have to show up for that coaching hour with the client, Thurman says. McCaffey makes money from downloads of an app called Divine Nine Emojis, which she created for members of Black fraternities and sororities. It took me a month to create it, and then it was out there, she says. So the creation process might be time-consuming, but after that, it's not like you have to do a lot of hand-holding of that business. Number nine, don't move too fast. One of the biggest mistakes Thurman sees women making is when they start five different income streams at one time. They try to go from zero to 100 real quick, and that is self-sabotaging, she says. Instead, work methodically, building one stream at a time. Thurman didn't add a second stream until she started making money from the first. Otherwise, you would be spreading yourself too thin and not making money. Number 10, find the right expertise. The internet has made it easy for people to monetize their knowledge that has led to a lot of online gurus claiming to teach you different ways to make money. Some of them aren't legit, says Emerson. I think we've gotten into the YouTube society where people think they can watch three videos about snowboarding and then be able to teach people how to snowboard, he says. Before you give someone money to teach you how to create a new stream income, make sure that you know or you show the evidence of a successful track record. Have an actual conversation with them about what they do and how they do it, Emerson adds. Then you want to talk to three or four people who they've helped. The richest Black women in the world. If you want to know how multiple streams of income can create wealth, we're going to simply look at some of our sister billionaires. So here's five of the wealthiest Black women that made their fortunes. Number one, Oprah Winfrey. We all know about her entertainment empire, but in addition to having invested in the cable network of OWN, Winfrey has a stake in Weight Watchers and millions of dollars in real estate holdings, and last year she signed a content partnership with Apple. It is estimated that her net worth is $2.5 billion. Number two, Isabel dos Santos. She is the daughter of former Angola President José Eduardo dos Santos. Dos Santos has a net worth of $2.3 billion. Much of her wealth comes from investments in different companies, such as the Portuguese telecom company Nos. She was also formerly the head of Angola's state oil firm, Senegogue. Folaruso Akaja, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, she has an estimated net worth of $1.1 billion. She is a Nigerian business tycoon, which made her fortune running the oil company Fama Oil. But other business on her road to wealth include fashion, such as Supreme Stitches, printing, such as Digital Realty Print, and real estate, such as Dayspring Property Development Company. And next, number four, is Sheila Johnson. Johnson co-founded the Black Entertainment Network. Today, she's the founder and CEO of Salamander Hotel and Resorts in Middleburg, Virginia. In addition, she owns a stake in the Washington Wizards, the Washington Mystics, and the Washington Capitals. Her estimated wealth is $760 million. And number five, Beyonce. Number 53 on the Forbes 2018 list of America's richest self-made women. Knowles is worth an estimated $355 million. While some of her income came from music, she also earned money from her stake in the streaming service Tidal and other ventures, including her Ivy Park athletic clothing line. Wise words. So even during the worst of times, we have been able to create strong, warm, loving families. We must continue in that tradition. It's not easy being good parents, and it never was in today's world. The family as a unit of strength and solidarity is being attacked. Motherhood is being derided, and fathers are given a hard row to hoe. In the midst of all this, we should understand that biology and blood do not automatically give one the claim to parenthood. It's what you do with a child's life that counts. Children don't ask to come into the world. Once they are here, it is our responsibility to do everything within our power to raise them right, as well as fight for their survival. And that was beautifully written by Marsha Ann Gillespie. She is the former Essence Editor-in-Chief in 1972. We are lovers. December 1996, this was an Essence article, celebrating Black love and inspiring healthy and successful relationships has always been our mission. Denzel and Pauletta are among the many couples whose love stories we've created for Essence. And then in 2017, we are mothers, and on the cover of this particular edition is Vanessa L. Williams and her daughter, Jillian Harvey. And this is where they graced a cover together for the first time and spoke with Essence about how fierceness runs in the family. They also discussed how staying true to who you are at any age never gets old. Vanessa, on schooling all four of her children on the ups and downs of show business, success isn't like, oh, this shiny thing. If only I could get there. Jillian has seen some aspects and knows that it's hard work. And then back in May 2000, we are friends. And this where it, on this particular cover is a lot of Black celebrities in Hollywood grace the cover. in essence says, has always cherished the unique bond shared by Black women because we know there's nothing better than hanging with your bestie. And then in October of 2003, We Are Trailblazers, and this the cover of this particular edition was Oprah Winfrey. From talk show host to entrepreneur to philanthropist, Oprah opened 10 times on Essence Cover Girl, is our first Black woman billionaire, and she's not yet finished. And continuing on with some of the covers that Essence, you know, shared over the years, we have back in July of 1999, this is where Mary J. Blige, that she was actually on the cover. We Are Survivors. Mary J. Blige faced alcohol, drugs, and other demons and still came out on top. In Essence Cover Girl more than 10 times, she says, I've been through hell, but I've survived. When you don't care about yourself, nobody is going to care about you. I learned to love myself even if nobody else does. And then on December 2017 in the January 2018 edition, it was titled We Are Warriors. Our Congresswoman Maxine Waters, she graced the cover, and it says, after more than 40 years of public service, California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, a.k.a. Auntie Maxine, graced the cover. She's a constant, fearless, vocal advocate for our community. And then in May of 2004, We Are Daughters. This is where Diana Ross and Tracy Ross spoke with Essence about their unshakable mother-daughter bond. We Are Grandmothers. That was March of, actually of this year, 2019. This is where Jada Pinkett Smith, Adrienne Norris, which is Jada Pinkett Smith's mother, and then Jada Pinkett's daughter, Willow Smith, they perfectly graced the cover of Essence. It says, Essence has always celebrated our elders. They occupied special place in the hearts of our readers. Wise words. Affirm your individual beauty, your intelligence, and your inner strength each and every day. Let's be real. We live in a racist society, and that makes it difficult to keep our faith, to stay strong and united. There is little to remind us daily of how powerful and capable we are. So we must do that for ourselves and for each other. We can make a difference in our lives and in the world. We Black folks have to believe this is true. It's time to dream big dreams and make them real. And that was written by Susan L. Taylor. She is the former Essence Editor-in-Chief. March 1986. So moving on to another article, we're going to go to lifestyle, food. A spoonful of love. In honor of the Mother's Day that just passed, Jocelyn Delk Adams of Grand Baby Cakes shares why cooking is a bridge between the past, present, and future. My family never misses a chance to sit around our dinner table in fellowship. We gather for everything from our annual summer fish fries to Sunday suppers to epic holiday meals. And they all begin with us holding hands to offer prayer. Then we get into the thick of it, fixing our plates and filling their air with old school memories and laughter. I vividly remember one holiday when I was in Big Mama's quaint Mississippi kitchen, standing right at her hip and wearing her apron. I was 7. Helpful souls chef that I was, I meticulously added sugar to Big Mama's sweet potato pie filling, mimicking her in her tasting along the way. She prepared everything with intuition and love, and I was a true student of the game, making mental notes of recipes to add to my arsenal. Big Mama passed away last year, and now I have an even greater appreciation for what family recipes mean to me and other Black folks across the country. The kitchen has always been a gathering place for Black families, and our recipes are like patches on a quilt, getting passed from one generation to the next. These recipes provide a true understanding of our heritage, and they are constantly updated with our own twist to reflect today's tastes. I like to think of Big Mama's recipe as a bridge between the generations. I was elated that four of them, my mama and my daughter and my big mama, were able to spend time together before she died. Big Mama holding my little girl, singing to her and feeding her would always be some of my most cherished recollections. I want my daughter, Harmony, to learn the significance of these treasures we have inherited. And I want her to know she can carry these recipes forward with her own signature touches while honoring where they came from. I also hope she inherits the heart my family cooks and bakes with, because that love can never be taught. And she also lists some of her recipes. I'm not going to go in depth of the entire recipe, but like, for example, Mama's 7-Up Pound Cake. And it looks like with this right here, she uses unsalted butter, granulated sugar, salt, eggs, sift cake flour, lemon extract, confectioner's sugar, and 7-Up soda teaspoon lemon extract. And I've actually never heard of this particular type of cake. And then she also lists a brown sugar balsamic lamb chops. And this right here, where she uses it, makes 6 servings. The prep time is about 10 minutes, and the cooking time is 30 minutes. And she lists it as 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 6 lamb rib chops, French salt and pepper to taste, 1 tablespoon of minced garlic, 1 cup of light brown sugar packed, 1/3 cup of balsamic vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and then fresh parsley for garnish as optional. So this is actually just making me hungry just looking at it. And so it looks like that we actually have run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope that you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.triangleReadingServices.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.